It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. The show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, Mobile's oldest GM dealer. Alabama Piping Supply and Ed's Seafood Shed.
Fantabulous Seafood Shed.
Well, everybody noticed that it changed about, oh, I don't know, about 40 degrees since yesterday.
So how many did it change just today, you know?
I'm telling you. Well, it didn't change at all today. It was this cold when I got up this morning, I think.
But, well, yeah, but it kind of got a little bit warmer in the daytime, but then this wind started blowing in later this afternoon. Yep. I'm going like, oh, my Lord, what is going on, you know?
Supposed to get down in freezing tonight and tomorrow night, I do believe.
Well, it's not going to be cold enough to worry about on cars, though, is it?
No. I think we're good there. It's just cold going outside. Yeah
it's like, but, you know, I was watching TV and the news, and they had all these snow and all this stuff up in the northern part. I'm happy here.
Yeah.
I'm okay with this.
I'm as far north as I want to be.
Right.
I'm good. I'm good. Wife's like, don't you want to go up in the mountains and watch the snow? It's like, no. I have no desire.
No.
You know, I can see it on TV. I'm good.
Yeah. This TV's close enough. Yeah. I was thinking about when I was in the Carolinas in the 70s, working with a truck line, and I hated to have snow because when we got snow, I had to get the car and go, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, go chase all my drivers out of the dirt and truck stops and get them back out on the road.
Yeah.
So, no, I wasn't interested in that burned snow and ice and what have you. But, you know, but, hey, we have an awesome country. We have an awesome southern states that we live in here on the coast, and I'm totally satisfied with our weather. Do I like some of it and how fast it changes? My opinion doesn't count no damn way, so what the hell? You know, it's just my opinion, you know. It's kind of like something else. Everybody's got one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, the weather here has its up and downs, but I wouldn't trade it, that's for sure. But
Well, let's fix some cars. I'm gonna throw one at you.
Okay.
Fred called me the other day, and he says, man, I got something leaking out from under my passenger seat.
Mm-hmm.
I said, what? What do you mean? There's nothing under your passenger seat that could leak. He said, it's got a funky smell. It smells like propane or something.
Right.
I said, uh-oh, wait a minute. I said, check it. Go out there and check it and see if it's got a color to it. You know, is it green or red or yellow, or does it have, any kind of oily substance or anything or what?
Right.
No, man, it's clear. But it sure has got a funky smell. It's something like butane or propane or something like that.
Right.
I told him, well, he's over my head.
Yeah.
So it was a Jeep Wagoneer.
Mm-hmm.
So what the hell could that be?
Well, I come to find out what it is the batteries happen to be under the back seat.
What?
And they'll get to – you can have a couple of issues. What was happening is it was boiling acid in the batteries, and it was pouring out on the ground because luckily they are at least vented outside.
Well, that's what was happening. It was coming out of a plastic. There's a plastic. He sent me a picture. It was a plastic-looking vent coming out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, like, well, why would it have that? But I didn't realize, you know, I'm old school. I'm thinking if you go to look for the battery, it's under the hood.
Right.
And then I know some of the other cars come along, and the battery's in the trunk.
Right.
But at different locations in the bodies and on the front sides of the frames and all of these other vehicles, I mean, that's over my head.
Well, you know, and they're relocating batteries and all kind of stuff on these vehicles to make room for the motor and everything under the hood and to make the passenger compartment as large as possible for a smaller-bodied car and all the above. I mean, there's just so much stuff going on under the hood of these things now.
But, Kevin, isn't that dangerous to have the damn batteries right under the passenger seats? I mean –
typically no. I mean, I haven't really seen, you know, we've been doing it since Volkswagen's been doing it since about the '40s, I think. But
really
there's a lot of the manufacturers were putting batteries under the back seat, you know, in the mid-90s, you know, and early 2000s.
Okay.
So they've been 20, 30 years, you know, back there.
Yeah.
And actually actually have found that they last longer when they're in that kind of environment because it's not the extreme hot or cold.
I'll go along with that, and I understand that. But now the thing that bothers me is the fact that these two batteries were leaking acid. You know, they were emitting acid and fumes out of them. Mm-hmm. And now I also understand that we see the most every battery that's under a back seat or in those areas have a contraption or design to put on them so that if they do leak or have any fumes that come out of it, that it will go out to the outside of the car, you know, get away from get on the inside.
Right.
And if you don't put the exact type battery back in the vehicle that's designed for it, if you go get the secondary battery, or add another battery, then you lose that capacity, and yes, it can come back inside of your car.
Well, yeah, you definitely want to keep the fumes vented outside of the car. And that's the big thing. You know, as long as the battery's not leaking physically through a crack or something, it's a sealed battery. As long as it doesn't get damaged in an accident or something happens to the battery, you know, to where it's going to leak physically, the vent will carry all the acid or fumes or whatever outside the compaction compartment, so it's not a big deal.
Well, now I question this: the repair to the vehicle was that they took the two batteries out and put in two new batteries,
right?
And said okay, and that's it. He said they never raised the hood on it.
Yeah.
Well, if they didn't raise the hood on it, where were they checking to see if the alternator was overcharging? Right, something to cause two batteries. Mm-hmm. I see one battery could go bad, or one cell can go bad.
Right.
But I don't see two batteries going bad at the same time. That tells me something's wrong with the charging system.
It's very possible, but it could very easily also be a battery went bad, so they sold them a pair to keep them the same age, so you don't constantly go back and forth.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I could buy that.
But this, boy, I tell you what, maintenance on these vehicles this day and time.
Yeah.
So damn much different. You got a caller?
Yeah, we do have a caller. Caller, you're online.
I am online.
Hey.
You are the line. This is the fabulous Nick DeMario. What's happening, big guy?
Yeah. I almost called you last night. When I just called in, I just hear about the alternator. I had that issue with my daughter's car, man. I had to have it towed away, and it's the alternator.
Oh, yeah. Well, now, you drive a Jeep. Have you had any problems with your batteries or anything on that vehicle?
I've had problems with the Jeep. The lifters on both sides had to be, they say it's the default in the engine, and they both had to be redone. And my daughter has the Patriot, and her alternator went out last night.
I'll be darned. Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah. It definitely happens, that's for sure.
You know, but this vehicle that I was talking about, Nick, doesn't have 40,000 miles on it, you know. So I mean, it's less than 2 years old and under 50,000 miles. I don't expect to have that kind of problem with a vehicle of that age.
Yeah, my daughter's alternator was screaming like my wife screaming at me for not sweeping in front of the house.
All right, we won't. Hey, we're not going there, Nick. We're not going there, Nick. Let's cook some food or something. Let's put some chocolate on some beignets or something.
Yeah, let's keep you out of trouble for kids.
You had those the other day. You like those?
I know it, man. I loved them. Yeah. You know, I'm just wondering if we couldn't take a little, you know, one of them little deals like an injector, and you could inject a little chocolate down on the inside of them, like they do some of those donuts and things that you get at the donut shop. You know.
All you got to do is take a chocolate squirt bottle and just put it to the center and push.
There you go. Okay, that's an automatic injector. Man, what's going on? What are we doing for the Mardi Gras season at the fabulous Ed Seafood Shed?
Well, you know, this past weekend we had an unbelievable weekend at Ed's Shed, Squid Ink, Sunset Point, Panini Pete, you know, celebrating the Reese's Senior Bowl. So we had some Reese's beignets, and then we had a Reese's Bushwhacker, the adult milkshake over there at Ed.
Oh, yeah.
And just a fun time. It was good to see people getting out. Everybody kept their mask on and socially distanced, and the restaurants, we had a really good time on all of them.
Well, I had some people that partook of the Bushwhackers over there, And they said that it was the best ones that they had drinking in this city, and that they loved the new bar, and they would be back and partake of the facilities at the new bar. It is Fantabulous Seafood Shed.
Well, that was the goal. That was the goal from the beginning. You know,
right.
Taking that bar that was very small and extended it down 31 feet, and then you know we took an old bar top that we got from a bowling lane down there in Tuscaloosa and was cut out and made that bar top, and you know we just felt like you know hey let's find out what our niche is as far as adult beverages, and seems like the adult milkshake is going to be it.
That's going to be it. Hang on, we're going to take a little break right here and get a word from some of our other fine sponsors. We've got Nick from Ed Seafood Shed on board with us, but we'll be right back.
Barking and screaming, I think he's turned into a stalk of bananas. Come back. What's your 20? About 16 miles this side of Mississippi.
Whoa, hold it.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Ramp along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. And we got a couple texts, but we'll get to those because we still got Nick on the line. Nick, you back with us?
Nick,
I'm here.
Yeah, you on board? Yeah. Well, listen, the ladies that I were talking about was admiring the bar so well because of the fact that everything back there is new. You know that they weren't loaded up with a bunch of smoke and everything, and they had view of of the bay and all out through there, and it was awesome. Just they said being able to sit at the bar and overlooking Mobile Bay.
Yeah, you know one of the things about Ed's is that every day that you go in there, it takes on a new life, and you realize, you know, wow, what a cool spot this is. You know,
right,
I was listening to your music beforehand and while we were on break, and, you know, every day is Mardi Gras and every day is gumbo at Ed's.
Right.
I mean,
right.
From the greens to the what we're doing and the fun staff, and I think we're just getting better every day with what we try to do with food and service, be more consistent, be fun, and do what we do. And you know, we're just finding, like, these new little nuggets, breakfast, you know, Bushwhackers. It's like finding a Christmas present every day and going, yeah, this really works, and the customer loves it, and let's do it better.
Right. You know, well, the thing I think about industry and businesses in all facets is you've got to specialize in some area. But at the same time, you have to have specialty areas and where that you're flexible in one or the other, you know. You can't just have an old common day business like we used to do back 40, 50 years ago where, you know, people are going to come see you where you want them to or not. But now, everything's bought off of the darn internet or everything's – you know, if you want something to eat, you know, you get on there and call Grubhub or whatever it is or some of these people, and they deliver you food and all that. I mean, well, you know, some of us people aren't interested in going that route.
Yeah, what we learned with COVID is that the tables had to be spaced out.
Right.
And, you know, when the governor made the order that said that we could go to 100% capacity and then you could put some barriers in between there, we left everything as is, proceeding forward. It's a really cool, spacious spot. Thank God, you know, for the open air seating that we have in all of our locations, including Squid Ink on right on Dolphin Street.
Yeah, man, y'all got stuff on the street.
Yeah,
look like homeless people out there eating.
But you know, I'm glad to see people out, and it's great to be in a business that you get to make people happy. Usually people are quite happy when they're eating and drinking.
Oh, yes. Well, you know, that's the fun things about life. Most of us have struggled for so many years, you know, working from, you know, 7 to 5 or 8 to 5, 5 sometimes 6, sometimes 7 days a week. And you get to the point where you get burnt out on that. And then we got slammed with this COVID deal for so many months. And then we all went stir crazy. You know, I had to repaint every damn room in my house, my fingernails and toenails. I tore all the paint off of them, climbing the walls,
yeah,
you know?
Right? Everybody got in really good shape or really bad shape.
Yeah. But, you know, there's a hell of a lot of divorces out of this thing. But you know what? There was a lot of babies, too. So yeah. What can we say?
That's right.
But, you know, I'm going to look at both sides of it, you know.
That's when you got to come to Ed's and just get some soup.
I know it. That's what I'm gloating up going to Ed's, man. Get me a bushwhacker and get me something to eat. You know, but you say greens. I noticed it a while ago when you was talking about the greens. People don't realize that that is not just turnip greens.
No, that's turnip collards. And, you know, we cook them slow and low, and we cook them for a long time. And we put a smoked ham hock in there and a secret weapon. I think I talked about it before.
You have.
Spicy
yeah.
Golden's mustard. I mean, you could literally sip that liquid out.
Right.
And Miss Mel's
you
been doing it a long
liquid.
Time
yep.
at Ed's. She's amazing as far as nobody does them better. And we just add a little touch to them. So that was cool.
Yep. And you know what? Get some of those and get those oysters on them, you know, and get some of them fried green tomatoes to go with it. Man, I can make a meal out of those things.
Oh, yeah. It's Ed's is, you know, this morph of Whistle Stop Cafe meets gumbo meets Forrest Gump.
Right. There you go, brother. Well, it's been a pleasure having you on board with us here today. So we're going to try to move on and see if we can fix a few cars here, but appreciate what you do. Appreciate you guys working with us and continue your sponsorship on the show for all these years.
Y'all have a great night. Stay warm. Bye-bye.
Thank you, buddy. All right. Nick DeMario, the operating division of Ed Seafood Shed and Panini Pete Corporation, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, he's the one running around. But, you know, he's an inventor of specialty food, so
right,
he's always
right.
experimenting back there with something. And every time I go in there, he says, "Oh man, come here! I'm working on this. Let me break it out here, and you try it." You know,
you got to experiment. Well, see what works. You know,
but he comes up with so many innovations. You know,
yeah.
But he worked for another conglomerate, another series. He was actually a vice president of operations, mm-hmm. I think for like about 20 years, and they had 30 or 40 restaurants. So,
right.
He's, you know, this is his first rodeo.
Right.
You know.
Right. Exactly. Let's see if we can't do something with some cars here. We got
Dave from
Gulf Shores. Kevin, isn't the Tesla the frame and battery also? Actually, what most of the time, the way they do these is they'll have a battery tray that is a structural component of the car, and the batteries will be mounted to that tray. It's kind of like our Volt. Where you pick the car up and got a big fixture to set the battery down on, but what it is a big section of the floor pan,
just part
and
of the
tunnel
car.
that where the batteries go up into, so it is a structural component of the car, and that's the way most of them are made. GM has come out with a flexible battery that actually fits a little. You're a little more flexible about where you can put it and how you can lay it out.
No, wait a minute now. A flexible battery.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, come on. Talk to Country Boy here. Flexible battery. You can move it around, or does it move around?
Well, I mean, it's not a rigid battery like you think of a car battery. You pick it up and it's a big,
right,
big
yeah,
rectangular,
you know,
box. Okay.
Right.
Now, you know, these are. You know, the technology with the batteries now is a lot of smaller cells, you know, that make up the battery. But this is like lack of better terms, it's just like a larger mat almost that can conform to like the floor pan or the trunk area or wherever they happen to
say what.
Yeah, so it's
and they put them in different locations.
Yeah, and they're just they're
I'm glad
they're,
you, I'm
they're
glad you're still
in.
Working and I'm retired. That's it.
Well, you know, I'm going to have to figure this out because you know, GM's come out and said by 2035 they're going to be all electric.
All so. Electric, right? Now, except so, you know, the heavy duty trucks are, I guess, probably a 2500 or 3/4 ton pickup truck.
Well,
still,
I don't
you know,
know.
On up, we'll have them. They said heavy and medium trucks would still have motors.
Right.
And
right.
I guess a regular pickup truck would have be electric.
Be electric, yeah. I mean, and that may change by between now and then, too. I'm going to
get me an extension cord company.
Yeah, there you go. The thing is, you know, the technology is there now to be able to run a big truck on batteries.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know why in 15 years they can't perfect it, you know.
Well, I being in the trucking industry back over the years, we used to, what we called in the industry, we'd slip seat the trucks. The guy would drive it for, 8 hours, 10 hours, whatever it was, for 400 miles, 450 miles.
Right.
And he'd pull into a domicile or a terminal where another driver would be there, and they would service the vehicle, check the tire pressures and check the oil and water and everything, fuel it back up, and another driver would get in it and go another full 500 miles, and we call that slip seating.
Right.
Now, I envision an electric vehicle where they would have the batteries and all would be in a cubicle underneath, like where the motor's at or where the sleeper's at on a cab.
Right.
And it would be like where you could go in with an electric lift truck. You'd reach up there and unplug the battery deals, run in there with the electric, lift truck, take that battery supply out, go put it on the charging rack, put in a hot set in there, put it in there, slip seat that sucker, and he's gone another 400 or 500 miles.
Right. And I'm sure that's definitely a possibility. And the charging capabilities are getting way better also.
Well, I'm hearing like 45 minutes or something like that on some of these vehicles.
On some of these things, you can get a 90-something% charge in 40 minutes or 45 minutes or something like that. And, I could deal with that. I mean, by the time...
Yeah, I'm going to take a coffee break or something and sit down and rest, relax, and, see what's going on.
I mean, even if you're slip-seating a truck... but it's going to be down 30 minutes.
It's 30, 45 minutes anyway. Yeah. So that's a cool move.
Yeah.
But now, where's all this damn electricity coming from when we got all these bad grids out there that they're saying that are going to go down or can go down any second and put out half of the United States or whatever? I'm going we better start investing some money in some electrical grid, freakball.
Well, they better hope they're not running any of these power plants off of fossil fuels because they can't. They're not piping it in anymore. So,
they don't even want to let us use natural gas.
Right,
come on,
right?
Yeah, come on, guys.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Cleanest burning thing we've got out there, and the wood, the earth is full of it.
Yep. All right, we're gonna take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
Your main frog spawner's nearly gone. Your injector ports are stripped, and that ain't all. Torque converters running low on torque, and that water pump's nearly down a quart.
It's the Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, I left Kentucky back in 49.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is the Car Doctor, Kevin Raywinkle, along with Tom Claxton. You have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But, Tom, we've been doing our best to sell some cars out of EJ. We're a little short on inventory right now, but we still got some inventory there and moving through. And, they're sold about as quick as they come off the truck right now.
Well, it's kind of like people are standing in line waiting for them when they get there.
Yeah, yeah. We've actually got people, that have given us their numbers and like, okay, when you get something on the ground, call me. This particular vehicle, call us.
Right.
And we do. We do.
And that's cool. I know that it's keeping you guys in the service department jumping there because you can't let those cars sit 2 or 3 days before you go through them and get them serviced to get them ready to go out on the street or be sold.
No, and that's it's the tricky part is, of course you get a truckload in, you jump on them and try and get them as quick as you can. So you stop a couple people, get them done. And,
right.
And it never fails. The ones you jump on and 'cause you're just taking them in order. It's the last one that you didn't jump on that they got sold.
Yeah, you guys stand out there. Where's my damn car at?
Right.
What y'all doing with my car?
So then you got to stop and reshuffle and get that one done. You know, so it's
that'd be my luck. I went out there and bought a brand new. It'd be the last one y'all could turn out of the shop.
Right, right.
I'd had to get me one of them homeless tents and set up out in the parking lot.
Yeah, it's a never ending battle, but it's okay. You know, we stay busy in the shop for sure. You know, it's a constant thing. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you know, Country Boy retired. Let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
When y'all go through these details or servicing the vehicle, getting it ready to go on the street when it's brand new, do you or have you ever found anything that is really wrong with them? Or is like 99.9% of them is just a matter of going through the process of checking, service checking them?
Well, you know, 99% of it is just a check.
Right.
You know, we're topping off fluids and we're putting on the hubcaps if it's a hubcap or, you know, any little trim pieces that they don't put on at the factory. You know, sometimes they'll put them in the car to keep it safer while it's being shipped or whatever.
Sure.
They don't put much fuel in them. They don't put the def fluid in it. They don't top off def fluid if it's a diesel. They don't, you know, there's the washer fluid. You know, I'm not sure why they don't put washer fluid in them, but, you know, I guess it's probably just to save a few dollars on each car, probably, if I had to guess. But, you know, we do all that. But every once in a while, you run into something that's got a problem, and you got to get it straightened out because, you want the car right when the customer looks at it, for sure.
Right. That is so true.
Yeah. Yep. But it looks like we do have a caller online. Caller, you with us?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, what can we do for you?
I just run into an issue. My wife pulled up to the gas station, a 2018 GMC Yukon, about 60,000 miles. Filled her up, got ready to crank it. Wouldn't crank. Battery's dead. So try to jump it off, and it kept giving us a message saying battery charging system, but it wouldn't do anything. It's about to the point of having it towed, and finally it cranked.
Yeah.
Does that thing have something that keeps it from being jumped off or charged like a normal car?
No, it will jump off like a regular car. It's just it's usually all about connections when you're doing that. It takes a fair amount of current to get those things to start. You know, and more than likely, you know, we're cold weather. You know, the car's 2 or 3 years old now. The battery probably has just decided that, you know, I'm done, you know. And whenever it sees that low voltage, it'll turn on that, you know, check charging system message. You do need to look up on the dash where it has your voltmeter. Make sure it's running somewhere 13 to 14 volts. If it is, then it's charging, you know.
Now, is that all the time or just when it cranks back up? On 13 volts.
Yeah, when it's running.
Okay.
Yeah, when it's running.
Well, when we had the cables on it, it has a keyless entry. So she'd turn it on, the gauges would cycle, and it would read 14 volts.
Right.
But it would not do anything.
Yeah, yeah. It was probably – they will do some strange things when they see low voltage. You know,
I checked the battery before we jumped it. It was 10 volts. I mean, it's definitely dead. So
right, and like I say, when especially the push to start vehicles, as soon as they see that low voltage, it really puts it in kind of a panic mode. I mean, it really confuses the system. I've actually had to unhook the battery for a little while, hook it back up, and then go back and jump it off from there because
that's actually what I end up. Get it done. I was to the point to put a new battery in it.
Yeah.
And decided that's too much to do there in the gas station. I was going to put it back and then tried one more time and it jumped off.
Yeah, yeah. You probably just have a bad battery. You know, make sure all your connections are good. The 18 model stuff, I can't say that we've really had many battery cable issues or anything like that.
All that looks really good. I was just.
How many miles is on it? Did you say 60, that already?
000.
How much? 50?
60.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Which, you know, the miles is not the big issue. No. It's just the age on the battery, which I know two and a half or three years old is not very old.
3 years is a life of a battery now.
But and it can be, you know. And we see them fail earlier than that sometimes. It's not the norm, but, I mean, it can happen. So more than likely it's just a battery issue. Probably need to get that battery replaced and, you know, make sure everything goes back to working like it should.
Clean the connections off, bro. Real well.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your help.
All right. I appreciate you calling in. But, you know, that's something I've seen, especially on some of the newer ones. I've seen just the battery will just go totally dead and the car will just go absolutely stupid. You can't jump it off. You can't do anything with it. And on the new systems, when they see low voltage, it really confuses the heck out of them.
Well, you know? don't we also have all of the sophisticated security systems now involved in the vehicles that they start going crazy, as you said, when they don't see the proper amount of voltage, so it starts making things happen that we haven't ever seen in the past.
Right. And the way most of these security systems work is it's looking for a certain voltage signal out of the theft module to say, okay, it's got the right key or it's giving me the right password. And it doesn't really use a password. It uses a pre-programmed voltage. And it's usually somewhere between 0 and 5 volts, okay? Which is much lower than what's in the battery and the body control module or whichever module is controlling on your particular car is sending that voltage out. But if it's the battery, you know, the car is expecting to see 12 and a half volts, you know, but it's only seeing 10, you know, that voltage may get off a little bit, and it doesn't take much for it to get off.
Right.
To send a theft message out and say, no, we're not going to do anything until we see the right voltage.
Well, that's kind of where I was going with my question is the fact that back in the day, if your voltage got down on the battery and you hit the starter, you had to turn the key on it, wrong, you know.
Yeah.
But now when you get down below a certain amount of voltage there, that security system and all the electronics of that vehicle starts pulsing each other and checking each other for the – find out what happened to my juice, you know?
Right.
So then
it
starts setting off all these bells and whistles and things that we're, you know, people that haven't been around and use stuff like you every day, then it's throwing us in a tailspin too because we're not accustomed to hearing all this stuff. And it sounds stupid to us, like, well, what the hell's going on, you know?
Right. You know, and I see them all the time that, you know, say I have one, and it's usually on the push to start cars, which, you know, it has, you carry your key fob and you have a start button.
Well, that's, okay? You know, look at all the electronics in that vehicle, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, what I usually see is if it's, when you first hook cables to it and you reach in there and you hit the button, it won't start. Okay. If you stop, give it just a second and then hit it again, it'll go and it'll start. Because what has happened is the last time it tried to start, or you tried to start it, it did not see the right voltage or right signal.
Right.
So it's going to, it may make you do it twice just to verify that it's.
It's trying to go into a whoa mode here. What's going on here?
Right. So they do some strange things. Even when we get done, you know, programming or even unhooking a battery and hooking it back up, a lot of times they won't crank the first time you touch the start button.
Right, they won't.
You know, you got to just stop for a second and do it again, and everything will work like it's supposed to.
Oh, so. I bought one of those little transistorized chargers that, I don't know, I got it from maybe Harbor Freight or somewhere. And I keep it in my car, and I try to keep it charged up all the time. And I went to jump off guy across the street the other day, and I put it on there, and I told him, I said, try to crank the vehicle before I put it on. And it didn't, you know, it didn't do nothing. I said, okay, I need to put some juice in this battery before we even try to crank it. So I just hooked it up, left it on there for about 4 or 5 minutes. He said, what are we doing? I said, we're trying to put enough juice in there so that my booster will work.
Yeah.
You know? But then once we had that done, and he hit it, and it went, boom, you know, fired right off.
Right.
But before, it didn't have any juice in it, so I tried to put a little juice in it to get some charge back on the battery before the boost had to kick in.
Right, right.
Is that something that's – is that proper? I mean, am I old school? We don't need to do that anymore?
We, no, where we I at? Mean, you still – I mean, if I'm going to hook jumper cables to something, I'm typically going to hook them up and just let it sit for a few minutes.
Awesome, okay.
Sit there and run.
That's where I'm at.
I want to see some voltage get back into that battery, and,
right?
You know, before you try and crank the car, because you know if you're trying to get all of the current for that your car out of the cables,
yeah.
that's an awful lot to ask out of, right. Say, jumper cables,
right? Yeah,
especially out of ones that you're getting in from, you know, the auto parts store,
or pack a sack,
like that. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Circle K.
They make, you know, some awful
cheap ones.
They make some awful cheap jumper cables.
I know, it, man. You know, it's some of them look like a cell phone,
right.
Charging cable. I mean, little bitty rinky-dink things.
I've got some that you could crank a Mack truck off of.
Oh, you know, yeah. They're made out of welding cables.
They're made out of double-aught welding cables.
Right, so right.
You know, and they're good heavy-duty.
Oh yeah,
clamps.
They work.
And they work and work well.
They're lifetimes.
And even those, though, you know, they're long enough. They're like 15 foot long. So,
yeah.
You know, so you're going to lose some voltage through them
even
at that point. Anyway, it sounds like it's time for us to take a break, and we're going to let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back after these messages.
The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The Doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. I got one for you.
All right.
And this just kind of highlights why you need to look at your tires in your car.
Ooh.
One of my guys went and traded his motorcycle for a Firebird.
Okay.
And the Firebird's a 98 mile, very clean car, beautiful car.
Ooh. Those are nice rides.
Been in storage for a little while. The guy gets it out, runs it around, puts it back up, and decided he wanted something different. Told him the tires were a couple years old on it. He's coming back from Pensacola and on the Bayway, and the left front tire come apart.
Oh, my Lord.
Took the fender off of it.
The
mirror off of it. And
what?
The rocker panel off of it. And it just exploded. Yeah. And it said he had very little warning whatsoever, you know, that it had done. And, you know, he wasn't running fast. Luckily, everything, he got the car wound down, got it off the road. But, you know, it just highlights why he said the tires look brand new.
Oh, yeah. They would.
But, you know, he hasn't got down and looked at the date code on them yet.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And I have a feeling when he gets to checking date code, they're going to be more than a couple years old.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. We know, but my daughter had that problem with her Camaro. The tires that was on that car, his tires, when she found it, the guy pulled it out of a warehouse. And it was the same tires that we put on it, like, 12, 15 years ago.
Right.
I mean, they were brand new then.
Right.
Because I put a brand new set of tires on.
Oh, it was longer than that.
Was it longer than that? When was that? Well,
she.
That had to be. That's over 20 years.
She sold that car back in the.
90?
Late 80s, early 90s.
Ooh,
so you're going on 30 years
ago. 30 years tires, But they were brand new then.
But they were brand new at
that
point.
But you know what? Yeah. I told her, you can't drive that. She's what?
Right.
Well, they got the same tires on it. I know they're good. They were brand new. I said, whoa, baby. And I said, no. Yeah, I said, those things are dry rotted to the max.
They're 30-year-old new.
Right. Yeah. And I said, you know, they were probably, what do they call it, bias ply?
Probably a bias ply at that
point.
Yeah,
and then, so you know they're out around. They go, boom, 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 boom. You go down the road.
Yep.
You know?
Well, I'm working on one for a friend of mine right now that guy had bought brand new wheels and tires, put them on there. and had probably never been moved more than a few feet at a time.
Oh, my okay? Lord.
But
he's got trouble there.
Yeah, they're, I checked them, they're 6 years old. Mm-hmm. And so they're just really a little bit out of date. But they are absolutely square, you know, because they've never done anything but just sit.
Well, you can't, know? Yeah, so, they're the belting and all in those tires messed up. And and you can't true them. I mean, you can't true them, and you can't balance them.
No, I mean, if you were trying to true this flat spot out of it,
you'd
be an eight through the tire.
It looked like a saltine cracker. It'd be so square.
Right. So it's going to have tires, but it's they're okay for what I'm doing with it. Right to say.
Well, rolling around the shop or something like that, or, you know, in and out of the shop, something
gently
like
down
that,
the road.
Okay.
Don't get too
carried
away. But and like I say, I know these have never been out in the sun. They've never really been out in the weather or anything.
They weathered.
Kind of stuff.
They're weathered and aged, but they have a dry rotted from the UV. Excuse me, UV rays.
Right, and the big thing is they've just flat spotted, but.
Well,
you gotta be real careful.
You know, at our age, we get flat spotted, and sometimes we get bulges where they're not supposed to be.
Right.
Told somebody the other day, they said, "I'm getting old." I said, "Oh hell, old ain't nothing, man. I went through old just flying. This action crap is killing me." You know, come on, baby.
That's right.
So those tires are old, baby. They're gonna have places that are out around.
Right.
There's gonna be extra stuff there that ain't supposed to be.
Yeah.
But oh, yeah, my it's, Lord. Shut up, Clarkson. You crazy fool.
But, you know, you hear us talking all the time about looking at the date codes on tires.
Right.
And there's
it's
a reason
important.
For it because, you know, no matter how good the tire looks, I mean, I had a pair of brand new tires that never been mounted sitting in my shop that they were already a couple years old when I got them, and I just couldn't bring myself to throw them away. But when they sat in my shop for several more years before I found anything that they would fit, I was like, nah, they got to go away.
They got to go away. Well, it's like, I mean, in most occasions, you're going to put it on something that you feel extremely proud of if you're working on it yourself, especially.
Yep.
And you'll be like the guy with the car coming across the bayway.
Yeah.
That sucker will blow, and then you're going to do $2,000, $3,000, $5,000 worth of damn damage to something.
Right.
That they don't even make those freaking parts enough for no more.
Well, and that's the best case scenario because, I mean, you can get
you
out there.
You could have went over the bridge, man.
You can go over the bridge, you can get yourself hurt or somebody
Hell
else
yes.
hurt. You know,
I don't want to break down over there anyway.
I've known people that have lost their lives over a tire. You know,
yes.
It's just not worth it.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a good friend who lost his life with a damn tire blow.
Yep, absolutely. So it's just not worth it. Keep good tires on your vehicle. You know, when people, you know, when someone tells you that your tire is 5 years old, listen to them. It means something, you know.
I want to change subject.
Okay.
I want you to think about this before you answer it, because I don't, you know, and note, this is a car that is way out of warranty. It's got 160,000 miles on it. It's a diesel, and it's got the def fluid in it that you have to run in it. People are telling the guy that owns this car that if he disconnects and reroutes the system without using the DEF fluid, that the mileage will pick up from like 20-something to 30-something miles per gallon. What are we talking about?
Well, you know, the one thing that a regen, which is what you're doing with a DEF fluid, is you have to put extra fuel straight in the exhaust system. You're not even burning it through the motor. Plus, you usually richen the motor up at the same time, so that drastically drops your fuel mileage while it's going through regen. If you can stop it from doing that, your fuel average is going to go up. I mean, I'm not going to swear you're going to get 10 more miles a gallon out of it, but you know you will significantly improve your fuel economy.
DEFCON fluid or whatever they call it, is that specifically for the emissions?
That is only for the emissions.
Okay, so you're going to change the legality of the emissions coming out of the vehicle. So we're
right.
As on this show, we're not going to recommend that.
No, you know, and
but I didn't know whether it was a feasible or a deal.
It depends on the vehicle you're talking about. You
it's
know,
a Beamer.
If it's a BMW, if you know somebody that can get in there and reprogram, because that's the big problem.
That's what he said.
You have to reprogram the computer to not make it do that or run the diagnostics on the particular filter system and all that, because just turning it off won't work. You've got to change the exhaust system.
Okay.
And it's usually, like on some of the big trucks, you're, $2,500, $3,000 to change it over to eliminate it, That's an awful lot of money.
It is. You buy a lot of fuel
for
that.
Now, you can gain some power. You can gain some fuel economy. But you've also avoided any kind of warranty you got.
Right.
And if you go to an emissions state that has to inspect them,
my next question.
You're done, and it's not $2,500 to put it back on. It's closer to $7,000 or $8,000 to put it back on, and hope everything works.
Oh my lord! Nothing plus the fine.
Right. Yeah. Right. So,
okay. So we're it. In other words, it can be done, but we're certainly not going to recommend it.
Right. Okay. Right. Yeah.
I figured that was the page we were on.
But. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's times that I would probably say okay, but no, it wouldn't. Wouldn't be my first choice for sure.
Okay. All right. That's good.
It made 160,000 miles with the system on it.
Right.
I think it'd be all right.
And it's still in one piece, and it's, it's driving good. Guy drives it all over the southeast, if he wants something, he gets more mileage, and he needs to get him one of them tinker toys.
Yeah. And the BMW X5 with a diesel in it, it's a fine vehicle. My brother drives one. Actually, his son's got it now. He bought it new. Loved it, handed it down to his son and his family, and I think it's fixing to go to his grandson here shortly.
Can't wear them out.
They're
but you got to take care of them. You got those diesels. I mean, somebody's asked me the other day, they said, what about them diesels? And I said, those trucks get over 1 million miles on those diesel motors.
Just do the maintenance like it's supposed to be done. But I want to thank everybody for listening to the Car Doctor Show. This is the Car Doctor, Kevin Remke, along with Tom Claxton, and we'll be back next week.
And to all of our fine veterans out there, we recognized our World War II and our Corps Red Veterans this past Saturday at the P.O. Wilson Detachment Marine Corps League. And to all of our vets, we love you guys. Without y'all, we might be marched into a different beat. Seeing things that I may never